We are certainly here today because we love and adore Jesus Christ, who has done all that is necessary for our salvation. We are here today because we love His Father, our Holy Father, the God of the heaven. We love Him so much, and we're here to express our love and our joy to Him. We're here today because we love the Bible and we love His church that He purchased with His own blood. And so we're here today because of His love for us and our love for Him. And that was a good scripture we just heard, a good song that we just sung. And so we are ready now to turn to God's Word in Galatians chapter 3 and begin our study. Our study today has to do with our relationship that we have in Christ Jesus. Our relationship that we have in Christ Jesus. We have a relationship with Christ because we're in Christ. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about that relationship that we have in Christ. Now, in Galatians 3 and verse 26, it says, "For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." Faith is certainly an element of our salvation. Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved," Mark 16:16. So we're all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. But it's not faith alone, it's faith that obeys. Notice verse 27. "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Now that's that relationship that we want to talk about today, is the relationship that we have with Christ in Christ. We have a relationship in Christ. We have a relationship with Him because we're in Him. You know, Galatians 3:27, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." I don't know why, but some people do not accept that verse as a part of our salvation. But if I knew that verse and understood that verse, that when I am baptized, I'm baptized into Christ and I put on Christ, you couldn't hold anybody back from going and being baptized. They should be running. They should be running to be baptized. Why? Because baptism puts you somewhere you're not. It puts you not in a geographical location, but it puts you in a spiritual location. And that spiritual location is in Christ. And you don't pray your way into Christ. You don't believe your way into Christ. Though prayer and belief is essential for us. But you must be baptized into Christ and you put on Christ. Verse 28. "There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ." The great unity of the Lord's church is seen there. We're not divided up into groups. We're not divided up into the Jew and the Gentile, the bond and the free, the male and the female. You know, years ago in this country, some of the early preachers of this country and the churches, they did have one side for the men, one side for the women. Where Alexander Campbell preached in Bethany, Virginia, they had two doors. Men came in one door, women came in the other. That's the way it was back then. And in Missouri, where Brother McGarvey preached, they had two doors there too. And even the middle pew, they had pews over here, pews over here, and pews in the middle. The middle pew had a divider in it. It had a divider in those pews. The men sat on one side and the women sat on the other side. But in Christ, we're all one. Notice that. Verse 29 says, "And if you be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." And so when you're baptized, you enter into Christ and you enter into a special relationship with Christ. That's what we're here to talk about today. Now that relationship with Christ is a very close relationship. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 2. Notice what is used in 2 Corinthians 11 and 2 as the relationship that we have with Christ. "For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you a chaste virgin to Christ." Now that's the church. When you're baptized into Christ, you're baptized and you become a part of His church. And notice what Paul says in this verse. I have espoused you. You know, Mary and Joseph, before they were married, they were espoused, which was a binding agreement to be husband and wife. We're baptized into Christ. That makes us we're engaged. We've got a contract. We have a covenant with Christ. The same kind of covenant that a man has with his bride. And so we're talking about that today. We're talking about our relationship with Christ. It's a very close relationship. You're baptized into Him. You put on Him. You become espoused. You become contracted to Jesus Christ. Now, that's the first part of the wedding, or first part of the marriage, is when you become espoused. We're now the bride of Christ. We're waiting for Him to come. As Jesus taught in the parable of Matthew 25, verses 1 through 14, when the bridegroom comes, we're going up to heaven for the great marriage feast. And so we have that relationship with Christ, and we're thankful to Christ for that. And so the whole church is the bride of Christ. We're in this together. We're not in this individually. We're in this together with the Lord's church. So today, let us talk about this very special relationship that we have with Christ. We are in Him. We are His bride. Now let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. And let's talk about this wonderful relationship that we have with Christ. Notice Ephesians 1 and verse 22. And hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. We're baptized into Christ. We become a part of the body. The body has a head. The head is Christ. The church is the body. Here's one of the figures that the Bible presents. We're the body. He's the head. We're like this hand joined to this arm that's joined to this body that's joined to this head. We're joined to Christ. He's the head, and we want to be joined to the head. He hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is the body. The church is the body of Christ. He's the head of the church, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Now, you understand your body. You understand it well. The right arm helps the left arm. You have shoes on this morning, so you wouldn't step on a grass burr or step on a sharp rock, because your body coordinated together to help put your shoes on. Your hands helped you to put your shoes on. We work together. We're the church. We're connected to the head. Now, if I separate this arm from the head, what happens to the arm? It dies. Any member of the body that becomes separated from the head dies. That's the way the body works. You separate the finger from the body, it dies. You separate the liver from the body, it dies. The whole body dies then, of course. But anything that's separated from the head of the body dies. That's why we want to be in this relationship with Christ. We have life. As long as we remain connected to the head, Christ, as we are part of the body, we will have life. Matter of fact, look at Ephesians 1 and verse 3. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. You've been baptized into Christ. You've been put on Christ. And there you have access, because you're in Christ. You're in His body. You have access to all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. As long as that finger or this hand is connected to the body, it has all the oxygen, the blood, the nutriments. It enjoys it all. There is not a part of the necessity of our life for that hand or arm. It all is supplied by being a part of the head. You cut the head off of the body, the whole body dies. The whole body cannot be separated from the head. And so we have this profound and wonderful blessing of having life. Look at Ephesians 5 and verse 23, where it says this: For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. He's the head of the church, and he's the Savior of the church. The church is the body. The body is the church, as it is addressed here in this book. This book addresses the church. And it says that Christ is the head of the church. He's the Savior of the church. So if you separate yourself from the church, you separate yourself from the Savior. You're separating yourself from salvation. That's why you'll die. Cut that finger off, separate it from the body, it dies. You become severed from the body of Christ by your own behavior. You'll become severed from salvation. You'll become severed from the head. You don't ever want to leave the church. Everybody in this room that understands these words and understands the words of the Bible, you'll never become separated from the church. Why? Because that's where the life is. That's where the head is. Verse 24 says, Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Church is singular. It is singular. He only gave himself for one church. Drop down to verse number 30 of Ephesians 5. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. That's our relationship to Christ while we're in Christ. And so we don't ever want to separate ourselves from that. Look back here to Ephesians 4 in verse 15. From henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait for you. You know, there are people who are waiting to deceive you. Don't let that happen. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, we're doing that right now, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, that's the church, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Just like the human body, this hand is attached, your hand's attached to your arm in such a marvelous way, the tendons, the joints, all of it attaches together. That's like the church. We're all attached together. We're attached together by Christ and by his blood and by our obedience to his will. And we're working together. We're working with one another and for one another. I'm working with you. I'm not against you. You're not against me. We're working together. We're not enemies. Satan is the enemy. The world is our enemy. We should never be fighting with one another. We're not enemies. We're of the same body. This hand never beats this hand up. It doesn't do that because my right hand needs my left hand. My left hand needs my right hand. We need one another. And so we're speaking the truth in love, and we'll grow up and we'll be edified. That's our relationship. Our relationship with Christ. We're in him. We're in his body. He's the head. And we need to understand that's a beautiful relationship and a wonderful relationship. But let's look at another aspect of our relationship with Christ. Turn to Matthew 1. When Christ was about to be born into this world, it says this about him, Matthew 1 and 21, And she, that's Mary, the virgin who was espoused to Joseph, she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Watch this. For he shall save his people from their sins. Jesus is the Savior. He's the head of the body. He's the Savior of the body. When we're baptized into Christ, we start a relationship with Christ. We become a member of his body. We become attached to the Savior of the world. Let's turn to Acts chapter 13. Acts 13, verse 23. Why do I want to be baptized into Christ? Because there's where you contact the Savior of the world. Acts 13, verse 23. It says this. Of this man's seed, that's David, he's in verse 22, hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. That's when we're baptized into Christ. We're baptized into the Savior. That's our relationship with Christ. We're connected to the head of the body. We're connected to the head or to the Savior of the church. That's why anybody understands this or to say, man, I need to be baptized. I'll not stop until I'm baptized into Christ. And everybody here ought to know that Acts 4 and verse 12 says that there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That's an exclusive name. No other name under heaven. That's exclusive. There's not another name. It's not Muhammad and Christ. It's not Joseph Smith and Christ. It's not the Pope and Christ. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And so when we're baptized into Christ, we're baptized into the name of Jesus Christ. It's a narrow way, and it's an exclusive way. And we're thankful for it. When we're baptized into Christ, we're baptized into the Savior of the world. That's the relationship that we have with Him. Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And we refer to this verse a lot, but let's read this verse. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 1, it says, Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace. That's God's grace right there. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. People are always saying, you're saved by grace, you're saved by grace, you're saved by grace. That's true. But grace has a location. Salvation has a location. It's in Christ. It's a spiritual location. And so grace is in Christ. If you want to be saved by grace, then you need to be baptized into Christ, because that's the location of the grace, the goodness of God, the favor of God. Now look down to verse number 10. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may obtain the salvation which is in Jesus, Christ Jesus, with eternal glory. Salvation is in Christ. How beautiful, how wonderful it is to know that. Everybody needs to read their Bible carefully and read those little prepositions. Those prepositions are speaking to us and telling us something. The salvation that's in, that's the preposition there, in. It shows us the location of salvation. It's in Christ. And let this be known also. Look at 1 Timothy 1 and verse 5. That God's grace and God's salvation and God's blood can save, and it can save to the uttermost, and it can save the most vilest of sinners. In 1 Timothy 1 and verse 15, I don't know if I said 15, but this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. And let's be reminded of something right here. And Paul's not just writing down what he wants to. He's writing down what the Holy Spirit is guiding him to write down. This is by inspiration. He's not saying this to be cute or something of his own knowledge. He says this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And so salvation in Christ can save the most vilest of sinners. You can't commit a sin so horrible that He cannot forgive it. He can forgive our sins. And so when we're baptized into Christ, we're baptized into a body that's connected to the head. We're baptized into the Savior. What's so important about that? He's the one that saves. There's where we have salvation. And then let's turn to Colossians chapter 1. Here's a great, great verse. Boy, these verses are power-packed, full of vital and important information. In Colossians 1 and verse 14, it says, in, there's that preposition again, so important, shows location. In shows location. In whom, that's Christ, we have redemption. through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. That's what you have in Christ Jesus. You have connection with the head. You have connection with life. Life comes from the head. That comes from Christ. You have connection to the Savior, but you have connection with the Redeemer. He has redeemed us from our sins. Now, all the older ladies here remember the green stamps and the Scottish stamps. And you would get them when you purchased food at the store, and then you'd fill your book up, and then you would take it to the place where you redeemed your, and it'd be like a store, and they would have things that you could buy with that book of stamps, or three books of stamps, or whatever it was. And so you bought something with the redeemed. You redeemed it. That's what Christ has done. Christ has bought us with His blood. He has redeemed us. When you're baptized into Christ, you're baptized into the Redeemer. Christ is a Redeemer. What does that mean? He's bought you. Look at 1 Corinthians 6 and verse number 20. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 20 is so important. You know, you're the property of Christ. It says in 1 Corinthians 6 and 20, for you are bought with a price. That's what's where the word Redeemer fits in. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. When you're baptized into Christ, you become His property. That ought to mean something good to you. Look at the next chapter of 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 23. You are bought with a price. Be ye not the servants of men. We belong to Jesus Christ. When we're baptized, we become His property. We're like the children of Israel of the Old Testament. The children of Israel belong to God. He brought them out of Egypt. He led them through the wilderness. But where were they going? What was their destination? The wilderness? No. Their destination was the Promised Land. They had to cross the old Jordan River. They had to cross that old Jordan River when it was at flood stage. It was huge. All of us have seen down here the river, some river, somewhere you've seen flooded. You can't get across that river. It's flooded. Guess what? God can stop that water, which He did. And so they went over into the Promised Land. That Promised Land is a shadow of our heaven. We are now in the wilderness now. We're being led by Christ to our home in heaven. We belong to Him just as the Israelites belong to God. We belong to Him. That's our relationship. That's what we're talking about today. Our relationship with Christ is we're in His body. He's the head. We're in His body. He's the Savior of the body. We have connection with the Savior as long as we stay in the church. And we belong to Him. And we need to understand that. We're not our own. We've been bought with a price. And so let Him be your master. Let Him show you the life to live. And then there's another thing, too, that we need to understand. And these are all beautiful and wonderful. This is why you ought to want to be a Christian. Because you have connection to the head. You have life when you have connection with the head. You have death when you're not connected with the head. You're saved as long as you're connected to the Savior. You're redeemed as long as you're connected to the Redeemer. He's going to redeem you. He's going to take you home. You're His. But here's another thing. Look at Hebrews 1 and verses 1 and 2. We become heirs. I hope you understand that the power of that word. We become heirs. You know, a lot of people here would want to be heirs of some rich person like J. Paul Getty. Well, what does that mean if you're heir of J. Paul Getty? Well, you get all his millions when he dies. You receive a great ransom or a great amount of things and substance. Look at Hebrews 1 and verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the world. Well, who is Christ? He's the Savior. He's the Redeemer. He's the head of the church. But what else is He? He's the heir. Heir of what? Heir of all things. Now, notice this beautiful passage from Romans 8. Go to Romans 8 and you'll see something that's just staggeringly wonderful. Christ is the heir of all things, but notice what this passage says here in Romans 8, verses 16 and 17. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, watch, then heirs, heirs of God, and what's this beautiful word? Joint heirs with Christ. Well, what is he heir of? He's heir of all things. You know what that means? We're heir of all things with him. That's beautiful. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. And so whatever Christ has, we have. You know, Christ came down here in human form. Well, that's what we are. We're humans. Well, he died and he was buried and he was raised. And he went to heaven. But we know that flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. And so 1 Corinthians 15 says we'll be changed and we'll go from being corruptible to incorruptible, from being mortal to immortality. That's what he is. He's immortal. We don't know what we shall be, but the Bible says when we see him, we know that we'll be just like him. We're going to be immortal too. He inherited all things in heaven. We're going to inherit it all just like him. That's wonderful. When you're baptized into Christ, you become an heir with Christ to inherit all the things that Christ is inheriting. Beloved, if you're not baptized, I tell you, if you understand what we're talking about here today, there should be nothing in this world that could stop you from being baptized today and to being restored, if that be the case, to the Lord. Because, you know, you can become severed and you can be separated from the body, and then you're dead. You need to come back and be restored to the body so that there can be life once again. And so when we're baptized, our status changes. Look over here to Ephesians chapter 2. This is one of the great, great passages. I love reading this passage here. When you're baptized, your status changed. Look at Ephesians 2 and verse 12. That at that time you were without Christ. You know, when you're before baptism, you haven't entered Christ. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, look at this, something changed. But now in Christ Jesus. You know what the Ephesians did? They were baptized. They were baptized into Christ. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were sometime were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, that's Jew and Gentile, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition. That was the Old Testament that divided the Jew from the Gentile, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments. That's the law that God gave on Mount Sinai, contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain two, one new man. Now the middle wall has been removed. Now the Jew and the Gentile can be one man. So making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body, that's the church, by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. When he was nailed to the cross, that took that old law of Moses away, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, you're no more strangers and foreigners. You're not strangers and foreigners any longer, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. That's what the church is. The church is the temple of the Lord. The Jew and Gentile, we just read a moment ago, for you are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. You are all one man in Christ Jesus. And that's exactly what he's talking about here. We have access. Our life has been changed. Now we're going to read one more passage, and that's John 15. John 15, we're going to read verses 1 through 11. You have a relationship. When you're baptized into Christ, you have a definite, wonderful relationship. You're joined to the head of the body. You're joined to the Redeemer, the Savior of the world. You're joined to Him, and He's the heir of all things, and therefore you become the heir of all things. You're going to inherit heaven just like He has through His obedience. Now let's read this as we talk about and we end our lesson today about the wonderful relationship that we have in Christ Jesus. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me, I want to be in Him. I want to be baptized into Him. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. We've been reading that word today. Now watch this. Abide in me. You know, I determine whether I stay in Christ or not. And I in you. Notice, you're in Him and He's in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. We were talking about that a moment ago as we talked about the body. No part of our body can exist without being connected to the head. And the same is true with a tomato vine. You have a tomato vine there, and it goes out there. And for that bloom on that vine, on that branch out of the vine of the tomato vine there, for it to bear fruit, it's got to stay connected to the vine. You tear that vine off, that branch will never produce tomatoes. That's what He's saying. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can you except you abide in me. You've got to get into Him. You've got to be baptized into Him and stay there. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him. Now, if you maintain that relationship, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Now, if I'm abiding in Christ, I'm going to bring forth fruit. What kind of fruit? Well, the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5. I'm going to bring forth fruit. I'm going to spread the gospel and help convert others. If a man abide not in me, look at that. If he abide not in me, he's no good, is he? You separate your hand from your body, it withers. It's no good. You can't just like get some super glue and glue that hand back on there. It's going to die. And so he says, if a man abide, verse 5, I am the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Verse 6, if a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. That's why we're here today. We don't want to get into that situation. If there's a condition, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. See the benefits of being in Christ? Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so I have loved you. Continue you in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Look at that. Isn't that simple? Keep his commandments. Well, what will that do? Well, you will be abiding in his love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy may be full. He's not trying to make life miserable and bad and hard and difficult. He's trying to bring us joy, and there's where the true joy is. Our relationship with Christ is a very special one. I hope you realize that. I hope you do, as we have studied from God's Word. In Christ, being in Christ, we have a relationship with Him. The relationship as the head with the body, the vine with the branch. We have a relationship with Him as the Savior, as the Redeemer. It's precious. It's wonderful. I'm glad and I'm happy that everyone here that has been baptized, we share together this glad news, exciting news, wonderful news that we're in Christ. Stay in there. Hang in there. I want to encourage you today. If you've been baptized into Christ, stay there. Stay in Christ. Stay in the church. Don't let anything, don't let laziness. A lot of times we do it to ourselves. We let laziness separate us from the Lord. Don't do that. Indifference, lukewarmness, all those things. A lot of things. Worldliness can separate us. Don't do that. Stay in connection with the Savior and with the Redeemer, with the Head. Now, if you've never been baptized into Christ, I hope you realize the value and the significance of being baptized into Christ. Believe that Christ is the Savior of the world. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's the words of Jesus Christ, Mark 16 and 16. And so get into Christ. Get into that relationship. Believe that He is the Son of God. Repent of your sins, Acts 2:38. Change your life. Get out of the world and the worldly ways. Begin to live the godly ways, the righteous ways. Confess Him before others. Matthew 10 and 32, what a wonderful statement this is. Whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. You can't get any better than that. If we'll confess Him before men, He'll confess us before the Father in heaven. Wow, that's just greatest news you could ever want to hear. Nobody should ever stop you from confessing Him before men. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then to be baptized into Him, as we've read several times today in Galatians 3 and 27. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. What a wonderful, wonderful thing. Do you need to respond to the gospel today? Have you drifted away from the Lord and become dead in your faith? Come back to Him today. And we're all here to encourage you. And I'll tell you, we'll encourage you and we'll hug you and we'll just do all we can to just show you we love you. God loves you. And so return to Him today. If you need to be baptized, everything's ready. We can help you and assist you to do that today. Won't you come as we stand?